ಚತ್ರಂ ಪಶ್ಯೇಮಾಕ್ಷಚತ್ರಾ ಸ್ಥಿರೈರಂಗೈಸ್ತುಷ್ಟುವಾಗುಂಸಸ್ತನೂಭಿಃ ವ್ಯಶೇಮ ದೇವಹಿತಂ ಯದಾಯುಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನ ಇಂದ್ರೋ ವೃದ್ಧಶ್ರವಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನ ಪೂಷಾ ವಿಶ್ವವೇದಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಸ್ತಾಕ್ಷೋ ಅರಿಷ್ಟನೇಮಿಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನೋ ಬೃಹಸ್ಪತಿರ್ದದಾತು ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ.
If you are joining us today, chant these mantras which we finished, you can repeat them. Athashvalayanaha
Athashvalayanaha
Bhagavantam
Bhagavantam
Parameshtinam
Parameshtinam
ಅಥೇಹಿ ಭಗವನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾಂ ವರಿಷ್ಠಾಂ ಸದಾ ಸದ್ಭಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನಾಂ ನಿಗೂಢಾಂ
ಸದಾ ಸದ್ಭಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನಾಂ ನಿಗೂಢಾಂ
ಚಿರಾತ್ ಸರ್ವ ಪಾಪಂ ವ್ಯಪೋಹ್ಯ
ಚಿರಾತ್ ಸರ್ವ ಪಾಪಂ ವ್ಯಪೋಹ್ಯ
ಪರಾತ್ ಪರಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಯಾತಿ ವಿದ್ವಾನ್
ಪರಾತ್ ಪರಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಯಾತಿ ವಿದ್ವಾನ್
ತಸ್ಮೈ ಸಹೋವಾಚ
ತಸ್ಮೈ ಸಹೋವಾಚ
ಪಿತಾಮಹಶ್ಚ
ಪಿತಾಮಹಶ್ಚ
ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಧ್ಯಾನ ಯೋಗಾದ ವೈಹಿ
ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಧ್ಯಾನ ಯೋಗಾದ ವೈಹಿ
ನ ಕರ್ಮಣಾ ನ ಪ್ರಜಯಾಧನೇನ
ನ ಕರ್ಮಣಾ ನ ಪ್ರಜಯಾಧನೇನ
ಯಾಗೇ ನೈಕೇ ಅಮೃತತ್ವಮಾನಶುಃ
ಯಾಗೇ ನೈಕೇ ಅಮೃತತ್ವಮಾನಶುಃ
ಪರೇನ ನಾಕಂ ನಿಹಿತಂ ಗುಹಾಯಾಂ
ಪರೇನ ನಾಕಂ ನಿಹಿತಂ ಗುಹಾಯಾಂ
ವಿಭ್ರಾಜತೇ ತದ್ ವಿಭ್ರಾಜತೇ ಯದ್ ಯತಯೋ ವಿಶಂತಿ
ವಿಭ್ರಾಜತೇ ಯದ್ ಯತಯೋ ವಿಶಂತಿ
ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ರೀಚ್ಡ್ ನ ಕರ್ಮಣಾ ನ ಪ್ರಜಯ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಸೇ ದಿಸ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಅಬ್ಟೇನ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಆಲ್ ದಿ superstitious things people think about. In history of human civilization, human beings have always thought all sorts of funny things, I tell you. You dance around the fire, you cure yellow fever or something. We have thought all sorts of things about this moksha also. Many people feel that they can buy their way into that reality or heaven or some such thing. It will not work. And then by so many other means, by karma, by praja, by dhana, no, none of it will work. Parena nakam nihitam guhayam. That supreme reality is there, nihitam guhayam, in the cave of our own heart. You can buy something from your heart, or by any other external thing. The thing is already there with us. So by any external thing, we could never achieve whatever the facts look here. Even when we use the word achieve, it is praptasya prapti means it is the achieving of something which you already have. So it becomes like discovered. Like I have something in my pocket and I don't know. So I really don't achieve it. I just discover that I had it all this while, you know. This reality is like that. Nihitam guhayam vibhrajate yat yatayaha vishanti. Yatayaha means those people who strive. This is a very important word, simple word. Yat in Sanskrit means to try, to strive, to attempt, to try, to like that. So, yatayaha yati. Yati, you know? Yati is not Bigfoot. Yati means one who strives, seeker. Striving means put effort, not just some rule says, you know, one man told me every day morning I used to do 3 malas of Gayatri. 108 by 3 times. And Gayatri, Om Bhuvah Svah Tat Savitur Vayinim Bhargodeva Siddhimhi Diyo Yona Prachodayat. And then he used to go to work. Then after the end he says, Swami, I must admit, I used to do it really fast. And then you have that rule alone, and this is all we do. But see, this human being is made up of body, mind, and intellect. And in this case, in the case of japa, it says body, speech, and mind. Kaya, vang, mana, all three must be integrated, and I'm supposed to do it very nicely with making sure that all three are integrated and they are there. Now that is called real striving. That other thing like parrot thing in the morning, when you were striving, you could train the parrot to do it. There's a parrot in Delhi Zoo that gets to chant Sanskrit mantras. It can be done. So, striving means I really bring my personality together, integrate, and I apply it to this science, you know. Yatayaha. So Vishanti, they only enter this supreme state. Means they become one with themselves. They realize their true divinity. Yat yatayaha Vishanti. And that reality which is there, Guhayam. Here, Guhayam, really, Bhashkar says, Guha really means the cave of the intellect. Because look here. What other instrument you have for knowing anything? If had intellect not been there, we wouldn't have known our human being. That I'm a human being also. Do you think a dog thinks, I am a dog? I am not a donkey. You think dog ever thinks? He cannot think. That I am a dog, you know, we are species apart. We wag our tail. Donkeys don't know how to wag their tail. They swish their tail to drive fly. But they don't wag tails, you know, in happiness, in joy. And dogs are very, very advanced creatures, you know. The dog doesn't think that. He has no self-consciousness. But human being has self-consciousness. And that is done with the intellect. And at the root of that intellect is this. Not self-consciousness, but consciousness per se. That consciousness is what is being spoken about, and therefore it is said that the cave, in the cave of, it is Guhaya, means in the cave. But here, cave of the intellect. Ritmundari community will see also, means in the cave of the heart. But here, everywhere in Gita, where such words come, or in Kathopanishad, Bhashya and all, you see, Bhashyakara says it is in the cave of the intellect, really. That is really the center of all knowing, the center of all consciousness, and all. Our intellect. That's where we are really conscious. So, the person could only know, this is parena nakam, this is beyond heaven. See, so one more point which is there in our Vedanta. The goal of Vedanta is not to reach heaven. Yeah? The goal of all other religions is to reach heaven. This is the only religion that will take us beyond heaven. Because the rishis long realized that even heaven is way inferior to this state. If you have ever given any little bit of thought to the concept of heaven, you would realize how contradictory all the things about heaven are presented. In fact, if you read the Puranas, you will realize that heaven is no better than earth. You just do a little bit of reading, you will see. See here. Indra, Agni, Vayu, Ityadi, Pavan, all of them, right? These are all gods. Many times, they get themselves in such big trouble. They run helter-skelter everywhere. And they have to go to Brahmaji, "Oh Brahma, please help." But by many, many asuras, they have been kicked out of heaven also. So if you can be kicked out of your own place, what is the difference between that heaven and the people in Syria who are kicked out and going to Libya and all other places around? What is the difference? No difference. If anybody here, Durvasa Rishi, goes there and gives a shaft to Indra, then anything can happen to him. What is the use of this heaven? Then, if anybody is looking for Indra's seat, and he's always looking, you know, Narada is doing tapas there, he wants to take my seat. So all the time he's scared somebody will take his. So he's scared, he gets thrown out of his kingdom. What is the difference from earth? No difference really. Absolutely no difference. Eh? So what? That the only thing is, the only one point about heaven is, if I enjoy an ice cream here, I lick that ice cream and I get, this ice cream is so good. That joy will just be multiplied like 10 or 100 times. But if I eat an ice cream there, that is all. But then the sorrow also might be multiplied. That's the one sorrow I have here. There, I will not only be thrown out of my seat, I will be thrown out of Swarga altogether. So, this reality which is being spoken about. You see, even in the other religions, if you listen and you just do a little analysis, then you will see, you see, other religions, other people are not encouraged to think. You just have to believe this thing, accept it. Don't ask any questions. Just believe this thing. Huh? So this, yes. You know, what you say is right. And then, but if you, one man, I was listening on television, this is television, national television, so I can tell you also, because this is there for the whole world to hear. He came out and he was telling that in my church there are 6,000 people. And these 6,000 people, we have a reserved spot in heaven. Their space is reserved on the left side of God. Because the right side is already occupied by Jesus Christ. So our spot is reserved on left side. This, all such statements are so foolish, it is amazing. You just have to think a little bit. So his 6,000 followers and 6,001, including himself, right? They're there. Can you, if you line up 6,000 people from here, single file, on the left side of God, the man who is last, he would not be able to see God. Then he will ask, "But I belong to the same church." The second fellow, he's seeing God. They, "Oh, how come I am not seeing God? Well, what did I do to deserve last?" And who will go last? That first will have to be decided. And who will sit next to that preacher and all, you know? Any time, how you work out this thing? Even if you surround 6 person around the Lord, some people, 6,000 are a big crowd, some people will be way behind. And they will always be jealous of the person who is right. And this is the description of heaven. But nobody is allowed to think anything. Just say, yes, our space is reserved. It's thinking finished. All these, in every religion, if you just analyze heaven a little bit, you will see that is the most incongruent, most contradictory thing that you are talking about. And scriptures describe all sorts of things like that. So Rishis realize this is all stories for children, you know. All things about heaven, promise this and promise that. And all. So we are talking about something that takes us beyond all pairs of opposites, because the pairs of opposites obtain in heaven also. That is the idea. It is this dvandva that we want to go beyond. And this dvandva is there also in heaven. Where there is dvandva, there is joy, there will be sorrow. You can't escape. So parena nakam, beyond this. Huh? This is the state we are talking about. Forget all this thing about heaven, Swarga, we talk about so much more. Now, who reached there? Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchitarthaha.
Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchitartha.
Sanyasa Yoga Yataya Shuddha Sattvaha.
Sanyasa Yoga Yataya Shuddha Sattvaha.
Te Brahma Lokeshu Parantakale.
Te Brahma Lokeshu Parantakale.
Paramrutat Parimuchyanti Sarve.
Paramrutat Parimuchyanti Sarve.
So, Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchitarthaha, there's a plural compound. It means those people who have really ascertained well. Sunishchita, not just Nishchitata. Sunishchita. Ascertained very well, very clearly. All the meanings of the Vedanta. Meaning of the Vedanta means meaning of the Upanishad. That is what we are studying now. So when we say that reality which is Nihitam Guhaya, we mean to say that thing which is lodged in our own heart or the cave of our own intellect, means the deep. If you don't like all of those words, just say the deepest part of my personality, at the core of my personality, that reality is lodged there. So this is what the Vedanta is teaching, and not heaven and all that kind of thing. So who understands the Vedanta very clearly have ascertained the meanings of all of the Upanishads and all, means the Upanishadic teaching very clearly. Then sannyasa yogat. Sannyasa yogat yataya shuddha sattvaha. Those who have strived well through sannyasa yoga. Sannyasa yoga means renunciation of all things. I have to renounce all the different types of asanas and all. Lokeshana, vittesana, putreshana, all, you know this thing. Means we have these three classes of desires. All of us. So we have to be able to renounce all of them. Desire for name and fame. Location is the most pervasive and most broadest category. We want name, fame, power, position, recognition. We want to, you know, some citation. My name must be put on that board and all sorts of things. People like all of these things. Huh? Everybody must say, he's wonderful, you know. We like to hear that thing. Praise. Notice. This is a broad category. You'll have to see this thing manifesting in your life in so many ways. Nobody likes to tell, hey, you're so ugly. And you dress so funny also. That is, you know, compounded. Already you're ugly, then you dress so funny. Who likes to be told? We like to be, well, you look swanky today. Wow. Like that. So that little praise. All day. From birth till that little child who is now born, he wants somebody to hold him and give him attention and caress him and say, oh, Munna, you're so kuchi kuchi, you're so sweet. Huh? He likes that. If nobody does, and you leave him, oh, wow, pray. It's a big racket, isn't it? So from birth till death, this location is there. He likes this thing. And he wants to be CEO, and he wants to be this, and he wants to get the high office. And he must look also. Not only be the part, but look the part also. And dress up nicely and everything. Suited, booted and coated. And once the fellow finally read the CEO office on the top, you know. And he sits on his swivel chair and he swings around, he looks out the window and he says, finally, see how good feeling must be there. Finally, I made it to the top CEO. And while he's thinking, like somebody knocked on the door. He quickly spun around that swivel chair. Oh, somebody is there. I must appear to be busy also, you know, nothing, just sitting and doing nothing, CEO, what kind of person? He quickly picked up that phone and he said, coming. That person came and then he started a conversation. Yeah, don't worry, I'll be in that meeting tomorrow in Manhattan. Please make sure that everything is in place. Make sure that you tell all the others also. And we have to get this deal done make sure that, and he put down the phone. And then he asked this person, yes, can I help you? This person said, yes, sir, I came from the telephone company to connect your phone. But he has to look important and great and all that sort of thing, you see. And then, it's an amazing thing. That's called location. And carries that with all beyond the grave also. When he goes, he wants to go in style, you know. So he tells, don't take me in an ordinary hearse, take me in a limousine hearse. Because now they have limousine hearse also, you know, a long one. So everybody will say, Hari, look, he went in style. Still he's getting name and fame after. See, this location goes. He wants his name to be left on some board and some this and that. Then the fixation of this wealth, that we see, all this type of craving, longing, desires, you know, hopes and aspirations, ambitions and all things. Sannyasa yoga, atyataya. You have to, you want those who strive through sannyasa yoga to renounce them. You please see how pervasive and insidious and surreptitious these types of longings are there in our mind. They erode from underneath the mind and we don't know. Amazing thing. Simple thing. I tell you, I challenge you tomorrow to come to this class with your hair uncombed, unkempt. Everywhere, let it be everywhere and all. And come to you. Then you see, I have to appear presentable, isn't it? We all have to appear that also, because what people will say. I'm so concerned about what the world will think. See, I took a shower, I'm clean, everything. But my hair was being. So such fine little, a yogi, he doesn't care where his hair is or what this is. He's a sannyasi. He doesn't care anything about. You know, once I was sitting in Vrindavan, I was staying in Vrindavan with that you know, great Swami Ekhananaji Maharaj's ashram is there. I was staying in an ashram around there, so there's a nice temple in front. So I came and I sat by that temple, just musing about how wonderful this Vrindavan is. This that one sannyasi came and he sat next to me. Then that time I young Brahmacharya, I just came out from ashram. He said, yeah. Where you come from? I said, I came from he is Dandi Swami. Dandi Swami means he had a danda with some little piece of thing tied at the end of the danda. Huh? I said, I came from Chinmay Mission. Then he did not know about Chinmay Mission. He said, where is Chinmay Mission? I said, Mumbai. Who is that head of that Chinmay Mission? I said, Swami Chinmayanandji. He said, he's a Dandi Swami? He asked me. He's a Dandi Swami? I said, no, he's not Dandi Swami. I said, okay, paas danda nahi hai. I said, no, he has no danda. He said, okay then, I don't want to talk to you. He went away. He has to be Dandi Swami in Sampradaya, then only he'll talk to me. So he's, now without his danda, he feels like he's nothing. He holds on to his danda also. And if anybody else has no danda, they are also nothing. Oh, what little silly things, you know, we hold on. Sannyasa yoga jatiya shuddha sattvaha. Shuddha sattvaha means those who have made their mind pure. The type of impurities are there, you have to study them. Mala vikshepa avarana. These are the three types of impurities. Mala means all this, you know, kaam, krodh, madh, lobh, ityadi, all these daily ones which we have, impurities. Greed and all. Impurities of the mind. And jealousy, matsara. They are called as mala. Vikshepa, another form of impurity. What? The mind all the time roaming. So class is going on here, mind gone. Today such and such plan, you know, as soon as Swamiji finishes there, Already half an hour is gone. No, there's no calm, krodh, mother, lobe, you know, I'm not getting angry or jealous or all this type of thing with anybody. But mine has a habit of... There's a different class of impurity. It wanders everywhere. Keeps going and thinking this, that, calculating, pondering, reflecting. You know. By the time this Upanishad is over here today, it went to Australia and come back. Seen 10 kangaroos also. All sorts of, you know, big shape. And avarana is the ultimate impurity. That's called agnyan itself. Total veiling of all knowledge. So the three types of impurities have to be removed. Shuddha sattvaha te brahma lokeshu parantakale paramrutat parimuchyanti sarve. In the end, after all of this striving and striving and striving, striving, that person goes to see Brahma Lokeshu, the world of Brahma, Brahmaji, it refers to Hiranyagarbha. This in our Shastra, in Vedanta, we talk about two types of moksha mukti. One is called Jivan Mukti, I get realization here and now. Other is called as Krama Mukti, Brahma Loka, and from there, I prepare myself for realization at the end of the cycle. When the cycle folds up and all, I get released from this cycle and all. So that also is very long. So Vashaka Bhagavan Shankaracharya, he talks all the time about Jivan Mukti. Satsangatve, Nisangatvam, Nisangatve, Nirmohatvam, Nirmohatve, Nishchalatvam, Nishchalatvam, Jivan Mukti. He likes this term. He doesn't like this Karma Mukti business. Because on the table is unsure, you know. Are you look here? Why when you have something right in the palm of your hand, you will look for something else? This is sure, na? So, Jivan Mukti. But those who really at the end did not achieve a Jivan Mukti, they go to Brahma Loka and Paramrutat Parimuchyanti Sarve. They become freed. At the end, parimuchyanti, of all such great strivers, those who strive, they reach that supreme state, which is the highest immortal paramrita. So, the sadhanas which are given here are preparatory sadhanas for meditation, really. See, if I do not become a good sannyasi, and sannyasi doesn't mean anybody wearing this clothes. A person can be wearing any clothes and be a very good sannyasi. It means to say, I am wherever I am, but I am a good renunciate. I'm really not attached to this thing, attached to that thing. I don't care too much about, you know, all these traditions, location, putrishana, vitrishana, and all that. That has nothing to do with clothing and all. One who is wearing that clothing can be very attached to anything. So, sannyasa yoga. Now, like this, I prepare the mind for meditation through all of this striving and some more directions, just like the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, some more directions are given now for that meditation. So what is it are these directions? See, vivitta deshe cha sukhasanastha,
vivitta deshe cha sukhasanastha,
shuchi samagri vashira sharira,
shuchi samagri vashira sharira,
Atyashramastha sakalendriyani,
Atyashramastha sakalendriyani,
Nirudhya bhaktya swagurum pranamya,
Nirudhya bhaktya swagurum pranamya,
Rutpundarikam virajam vishuddham,
Rutpundarikam virajam vishuddham,
Vichintya madhye vishadam vishokam,
Vichintya madhye vishadam vishokam.
This verse has 6 paragraphs. Oh, usually 4 paragraphs there. That could have happened because of long years of coming down, you know, in oral tradition. Remember the old days, thing never used to be written down. So somewhere it is possible that 2 paragraphs could have been lost. It will go 4, 8, 12, 16, like that and all. Yeah, 6. But that is okay. Gandhiji used to say, all the Upanishads are lost and only came. Ishavasya Upanishad is saved. We can reconstruct the whole Vedanta. And not only that, he used to take it further. If all of the Ishavasya Upanishad is lost also, and the first mantra is saved. Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Yat Kinchit Jayatyam Jayatyatena Buddhitaha Mahavidatasya. That one is saved. We can reconstruct the whole thing. So if half of a verse is lost, no problem. One is enough. See, if the whole bottle of honey has fallen and one drop has remained on your finger, you will know what honey tastes like. You don't need the whole bottle. So that's like, so now this meditation, renounce mentally all, really let things be. I want to meditate on this reality. So it says Viviktatesha. Viviktatesha is seven keys. In a place which is secluded, quiet. For meditation, we have to have some secluded, quiet place. Now, in order to make up for that, do you know, if you give some thought a little bit, you will realize that time and space are one thing. Time and space, really, they're one thing. That is why you see, in our Vedanta, when there's evolution of the elements, from that reality came space, then air, then fire, then water, then earth. In that evolution, there is no such thing as time. Didn't it occur strange to you? Mm-hmm. There is no evolution of time. Because time and space are one and same. You have to give some other forum, I'll tell you about that. But anyway, why I'm telling you that now is because in many times in a busy world, you cannot find some secluded space. But you can find some secluded time when everybody is asleep. And then everything is quiet. In Brahma Muhurta in the morning, everything, nobody has yet woken up. So that secluded space can be substituted for with a secluded time. Means a quiet time. Like that. Viviktadesha sevitvam aratir janasam sadhi bhagavan. You use this phrase in Gita also. Vivikta sevi lagvashi. Two times. Same phrase. In Gita. Gita is the sara of Upanishad, you know. So yes, choosing some quiet place. Quiet time of the day, secluded, away from all the hustle and bustle, like that. That is one. Cha sukhasana stha, and sit there very comfortably. Please don't sit on some high bench or something. Sit on something low like this. Because you will always be scared. Suppose I fall asleep while I'm meditating now. Which is quite probable. So if I fall asleep and I'm sitting on a counter like that, then that might be my last meditation. Antim meditation. So, you sit on some spot, he gives there. No low spot. Chela, jina, kushottaram, kusha grass, and you know, the skin and the cloth, their skin and all. And so, that's how high it will be. Push a grass that will only come this high. And don't worry if you haven't found any deer skin and kusha grass or not. You only find kusha grass in Atlanta and kusha grass. This, how you are sitting here now, this is fine. So, sukhasana. That also indicates one more thing. Seems very comfortable. Sukhasana. Very comfortable. And then he tells you how that comfort should also be characterized by samagrivashira shariraha, head, neck and back and all in one straight line, like that. Shuchi, that place should be also pure, clean. No, little bug walking about and all. And don't go to meditate with your pet snakes sitting next to you. Some people in this country have pet snake and all, you know. It might start crawling up. Put the hamster in the cage. That's why in ashram the rishi used to tell him, put the cat under the basket. Because that cat comes and rubs on everybody when they are meditating. You know, like that. So, put that cat under the basket. It should be free. Shuchini is free from all disturbances and impurity. And that's good. So you meditate in the morning when cooking has not started in the house. No cooking has started yet, you know, otherwise when they do that chonk, you know. Nice. Atyashrastha. Atyashrastha means that he has renounced everything. That time, I don't think about my day's work, you know. And please put all the cell phone on silent. Otherwise, the cell phone, ding! You're meditating. So the message has come. That thing, you know, some message has come. And you were expecting one, that makes it worse. So, atya ashrama means renouncing all. Ashrama-stha means also be completely relaxed, at rest, renouncing mentally all things, leaving it aside. Sakalendriyani niruddhya. All the senses controlled, withdrawn. You don't listen to this and listen to that, taste this or smell that, nothing. All senses withdrawn. Bhaktya swagurum pranamya. And through devotion, doing salutations to one's guru, swaguru. See how many, slowly, how many steps in this meditation. And it's good if we do them slowly also. We remember these words and we do them slowly. Because please remember, if I do the actions slowly, I'm really slowing down the mind. The actions at the level of the body is really going to affect the mind also. So I'm slowing down the mind because I want the mind to become absolutely still. In these type of societies, our mind is racing. In Trinidad language, we say, your mind is speeding. Our mind is racing like anything. So we follow them very, very slowly and get into this meditation. Hritpundarikam virajam vishuddham vichintya. And now meditating on that reality which is Hritpundarikam, just now I was telling you, in the lotus of the heart, means in the deepest part of our personality. That is what you have to understand. Don't think that it is any real space inside. You try and then you spend your whole life trying to pinpoint that space. And you say, I have to shift this side a little bit, or shift that side a little bit. Oh, is it between front and back is where is in the middle, then you try to find that spot and all, you'll be wasting time only. And if you're a skinny person like me, then it's more difficult to find where is that spot. When I came back from Mumbai, I was so skinny, that I used to have a back pain and a belly pain in the same place. Then you don't know where this middle, between back and front, where that middle is and all that kind of thing. So, it is really the deepest part of the personality. We are deep inside, where I have the deepest consciousness. Rit Pundarikam, that reality, Vishuddham, Virajam, shining there. And it is pure, clear, bright. See, Vishadam, Vishokam, free from sorrows. Madhya is center for personality. So that Vijinti, having meditated on, having contemplated, it means I release my attention from all the external things and I go deeper and deeper inside. Then continue with this. Next. That Vishuddham reality, pure reality which is being described there, is given so many different adjectives here now. How is it? Achintam avyaktam anantarupam.
Achintam avyaktam anantarupam.
Shivam prashantam amritam brahmayonim.
Shivam prashantam amritam brahmayonim.
Tathādi madhyānta vihīnamekam.
Tathādi madhyānta vihīnamekam.
Vibhum chidanandam rupam adbhutam.
Shivam chidanandam rupam adbhutam.
Oh, what a wonderful word. It is called achintya, that reality. Achintya. Just now said vichintya in the previous. Vichintya means having reflected, having thought or meditated on that. But here it is achintya, it cannot be thought of. But just now you said think of it. So what is meant is I bring the attention inside and I try to take the attention to the deepest part of my personality. But in so doing, means, see, I am thinking about that reality which is the deepest part of my personality. In so doing, I will come to a state of thoughtlessness. Then I realize that reality is really achintyam. It cannot be thought of. But the exercise of thinking about it makes the mind come to a state of thoughtlessness. So thinking about it is beneficial, and then thinking about it, I realize that it cannot be thought about. So the thinking about it is beneficial because it brings me to the thoughtless state. And don't think thoughtless to be here a very bad thing. Eh? Thoughtless means I go beyond thought. Otherwise, many people say, you're very thoughtless, you know. It's good. If you're thoughtless, it's better. So, it is achintya when we really come to that state. Cannot be thought of. Why? Because it is that thing which is facilitating thought. That thing which facilitates thought, that consciousness, cannot itself be thought of. Like that, those batteries that power the flashlight. The flashlight cannot flash on those batteries. You take out the battery and you put it in front. Then the flashlight will not work. So it has to be behind to power the flashlight. So this reality has to be behind the thought to power the So they themselves cannot be, that reality itself cannot be thought of. Achintyam, avyaktam. Avyaktam is unmanifest. It cannot be seen then. Unmanifest simply means it cannot be seen, cannot be perceived. Because it is behind the senses and the instruments that perceive. So itself cannot be perceived. Like the hand holds. The hand can hold this thing. But the hand cannot hold the hand. Cannot catch itself. Reality is like avyaktam, is unmanifest, behind. Anantarupam, of the nature of infinitude, is endless. See, I can know where my body ends. I can know, you know, where this thing starts and ends, where my body starts and ends. But where does my consciousness start and end? It is endless. Consciousness can go on and on and on, infinite. So it is anantarupam, shivam, auspicious. Pure auspiciousness. The self is the most auspicious thing. There are many things in the world which are very auspicious also, you know. When you walk into a temple, you feel an aura of auspiciousness in that mandir, or in a puja room or something. That is very auspicious. But the most auspicious thing is the self within. Prashantam. Amritam. Brahma yonim. Prashantam means peaceful. Nature of absolute peace. Prakarshena shantam. Not just ordinary shanti. We know some ordinary shanti, you know, in the world. When we get what we want and our mind becomes calm. I want everybody to go away from this house. And they all leave. We get some shanti. So the Buddha shanti we know, but this is called prakarshana, means deafening silence. Have you heard? Deafening silence. The shanti is beyond description. That self. Amritam, immortal. Brahma yonim, the very source of even Brahmaji. This is taking a person beyond Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh and everything. So within is the very source of Brahmaji himself. Tatha adi madhya antarhinam ekam. That's state. It's not a state. If you really see, a state, you cannot point out the beginning of a state, the middle of a state, and the end of a state, isn't it? You can point out the beginning and middle and end of an object. But a state, like for example, I say, I am happy. So right now I'm in a happy state. Where is beginning, middle, and end of that? I'm in the middle of my happiness. I'm in the far end of my happiness. Happiness is a state. You cannot point out beginning, middle, and end and all. So think about this absolute state now. How you, even an ordinary state, you cannot point out beginning, middle, and end. How in absolute state you will point out beginning, middle, and end? Ekam. That state of oneness of all. You know, how the self can be said to be one? From point of view of Sat and from point of view of Chit also. Both, you see that the self can only be one. See, this thing exists, I exist, the space here exists, everything exists, na? So, really speaking, there is nothing but existence everywhere. There are not many things, there is only one thing. That one thing may appear as many things, that is a different matter. Like the one light appears as so many forms on that screen. But in the final analysis, all that is only one light. Because light, white light has seven colors, so it appears on that screen as seven colors. But it's the same one light only. So in the very same way, they say one existence in all things. So from the point of view of existence, there's only one thing. From the point of view of consciousness only, all the things in this universe, they are only thought in our mind. And a thought is nothing but a modified form of consciousness. Every thought is a form of consciousness only, awareness. So from that point of view, now, everything which I see is only a thought in my mind. And every thought is consciousness. So again, everything is consciousness. For whether I take Sat or Chit, there still ends up only being one thing in the world. And don't think Sat and Chit, they are two things now. Sat and Chit also, they are one and same. Sat is Chit and Chit is Sat. So there is Ekam. There is only one thing in this world. But we are so taken up with the diversity and the variety in the world, we forget the oneness. Like when we go into the potter's shop and we see all the clay objects. You know, this thing is made from clay, that is made from clay, the other thing. And you say, oh, this is a nice vase. I like the shape and height and size. It fits perfectly in that corner of my house, you know. So we get taken up with name, shape, form and all that kind of thing. And we forget the clay. So from the point of view of clay, there is only one thing in that shop. From the point of view of forms and names, there are many things. So we have to overlook the many now and think about the one. So when I sit down like this, is what I am supposed to think about. The one existence which pervades me and pervades all things. And my oneness with all things. My interconnectedness with all things. Like that. Ekam vivum is all pervasive, that reality. Chidananda rupam adbhutam. And he says, adbhutam. Of native chit and ananda. And adbhutam means supremely amazing, wonderful, stupendous, this reality. I was thinking that I am a limited being. I am so helpless. But when I discover that I am the reality that is there in the whole universe, I am the reality that is upholding even Niagara Falls. Otherwise, when I go there, I say, oh, pray, what a terrific thing it is, you know. And you stand back, you know, don't go too near. That shows how much difference we feel from everything. But here I discover my oneness with the greatest power in the universe, that dense adbhutam it is. Supremely amazing. This reality is being described like this. Then it continues to describe the reality which is manifest and apparent in so many various ways. Uvasahayam Parameshwaram Prabhum.
Umasahayam Parameshwaram Prabhum.
Trilochanam Neelakantham Prashantam.
त्रिलोचनं नीलकंठं प्रशांतं
ध्यात्वा मुनिर्गच्छति भूतयोनिं
समस्त साक्षिं तमसः परस्तात्।
So here in this verse, you'll have to now substitute whatever form of Bhagwan you like. Here, Lord Shiva is given. So suppose you're a Vishnu Bhakta, Ram Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta. Just substitute. That is all. So he says, Umasahayam Parameshwaram Vibhum. What has been described as, that's that reality that has manifested as Lord Shiva, doesn't manifest it as Uma, doesn't manifest it as all the different forms which we know. Ram, Krishna, Ganesh, some people love Ganesh, no? Ganapati, Bappa. We love. So just substitute your form, no problem. Umasahayam Parameshwaram Prabhum. This reality is the same Supreme Lord who you've been worshipping in whatever form. Same Supreme Reality has now manifested as your whichever form is that. So, Umasahayam Parameshwaram Prabhum. Trilochanam Neelakantam Prashantam. Lord Shiva. See, here Lord Shiva is described as Prashantam. Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam Padmanabham. So, that there also Lord Vishnu is described the same Shantakaram. Here Lord Shiva, same Shanta. So, whichever your form, Neelakantam, the blue-throated one. So, what we can do here, we start meditating on the form of God which we like. But then, take it beyond that to realize and recognize that the same form is avyaktam, achintyam, arupam, anantam, anadi, all the words we've seen before. This form, I have to transcend also, go beyond the form. But some people get scared, you know. You mean I have to give up my Prabhu? No, no. Why you have to give up your Prabhu? Just realize that your Prabhu is not limited to just that form. Prabhu goes beyond that form also. But he is so wonderful. He has taken this form so that I can, my mind will have something concrete to rest on. Otherwise, mind cannot rest on something which is not concrete, you know. So that same reality is manifested as this, my Lord Shiva. And so he is out of his compassion, so that my mind will have something to meditate on, some form. But that through the form, I am supposed to go to the formless. And then I can have both. My Shiva is with form and also without form. This is Tulsidasi writes very nicely about this. Bhagavan is with form and without form at the same time. Why he cannot be? But then if he is Bhagavan, then he could be anything. If he cannot be, then he is not Bhagavan. He can take form and no form at the same time. Therefore, you see, this is all symbolized in Ramayana and all that. Very nicely. Bhagavan Shiva is telling this whole Ramayana to Parvati ji in Kailash. At the same time, he is part of the Ramayana because he is Hanuman ji. He is incarnated as Hanumanji, and he is doing all of this, going to Lanka and all this thing going on. So he's telling story to Parvati ji. So he's telling story about himself, why he's part of the whole thing there. That is an amazing thing. So that is why he called Bhagavan. He can sit there and tell the whole Ramayana at the same time and be part of the whole Ramayana while it's going on also at the same time. If he cannot do that, something is wrong with him. So the absolute reality is with form and without form at one and the same time. In this world also, things which you think to be contradictory, that is only because your thinking is limited. They are not contradictory, they are one and the same at the same time. Huh? One teacher drew a line on the board like this. And he told the students, okay, I want you to make this line shorter without erasing any part of it. So a student very adroitly came there and drew a longer line on the top. This line became shorter or not? Mm-hmm. By the same token, you can make this line longer also. If you draw a shorter line, this line is longer. Now think, this line is shorter or longer? It is both at the same time. All these contradictory things, they can happen even at a relative place. At one and the same. I'm tall or short?
It's
in front of my mother, I'm tall. In front of other people, I'm short. No, I'm tall or short. Both at the same time like that. This is how the world is there. So, the reality also is with form and without form at one and the same time. Trilochana, all of these words you know already. Uma Sahayam, along with Uma Parameshwara and that Parameshwara, Jagadishwara, we call in Mumbai Ashram. It's Prabhu. Trilochana, the three eyed one, Nilakantham, blue, Surochit one, Prashantam, was of nature, peace. Dhyatva, having meditated on him. Muni, all these munis, or munir gacchati, one singular, the muni goes to that supreme state, which is Bhuta Yone, the source of all beings, the source of all things in the universe. That source is Samasta Sakshim, the witness of all things happening in the universe. Tamasa Parastat, beyond all darkness. So, the muni goes to that state, having meditated on that Lord Shiva, Dhyatva. Dhyatva word is very important. He meditated on that Lord Shiva, he goes to that state which is beyond the form of Lord Shiva also, which is Sakshi. Sakshi means, don't think that Bhagavan is sitting there with eyes now. Some people think, you know, Bhagavan is sitting there with eyes. He is Sakshi, you know, eternal Sakshi. So he's sitting with eyes and he's witnessing everything. At the end, in the children's party, there was a table lined up there. And all cake and ice cream and cookies and this and that. And so they had like 100 children, 100 slices of cake and everything there. So the children could pass along the table and take one. So there, you know, kids like cake like anything else. So when the cake was there, they put a sign there. Please take only one slice. Remember, God is watching. And then walked on, there's so many other things. And cookies way at the end over there. One kid put a sign there. Take as many cookies as you want. God is over there watching the cake. You can take many. That's watching him. So people have all sorts of ideas about God and watching and all of this. Maybe Sakshi. But this is Sakshi here. It's like, see. He's seeing the object. I'm seeing this object only because there is light. Huh? So the object is resting on the hand. So if I take away the object, I can still see the hand. Because the light is still there. Because of the light only I'm seeing both of them, isn't it? So I take away this, I'm still seeing the hand. Then take away the hand. Light remains or not? That light still remains. Here, because of the light, the reflection of the light in this certain shape is recognized. Here another shape is recognized. When I remove this also, light is still there even though no shape is recognized. The light is still present. It is in that light I was able to see all the different shapes. But if the shapes are gone, that doesn't mean that the light is gone. All the different forms vanished, but the light is still there. That light is called Sakshi. In that light, all things are seen, witnessed. So that type of Sakshi, not that he's an active Sakshi with two eyes watching. Even seeing is possible only because of that reality. And things are known only because of that reality. That reality is called a Sakshi. So he reaches that state, but he goes through meditating on the form. This is what the verse is telling. You go via the form. Immediately. Suddenly you cannot start thinking about formless reality and all like that. Okay. You'll see. Rest tomorrow. See, you know, our just yeah, go away fast.
Mm-hmm.